listening to another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 55, and I am your host, DJ Chuang, and I love having conversations about social media, and while it is happening all over social media, it is quite scattered in little pockets of comment threads on blog posts, tweets that come and go. Although I do commend Twitter for making it possible for us to search back to tweets that go beyond a week, and sometimes they even go back a year or two. So that's nice to see that Twitter has put some more hardware behind their archive search algorithms. So thank you, Twitter, for that. And I know there's conversations on Facebook, but a lot of those are in corners where it's in private groups and things that I have not access to. So it's not in the public and open. And so what we want to do here at the Social Media Church Podcast is to have conversations with church leaders about social media. And on this episode, I'm thrilled to connect with someone up in Seattle at Mars Hill Church. Yes, the notorious one led by Pastor Mark Driscoll, who has become a leading voice, certainly a popular voice in our culture today, a gifted communicator reaching thousands of people through multiple campuses in multiple states. And those numbers are changing all the time, so I'm not going to mention exactly how many locations so that this content can stay evergreen. And Mars Hill Church was identified as one of the top five social media churches by yours truly, in conjunction with the Christian Post. And so you'll want to refer to that article for a little more background about just what it is that they are doing creatively and innovatively and reaching thousands of people through social media. And so that's most of my conversation with Corin Bauer, as well as a mention of the social network that was developed out of the context of Mars Hill Church. They developed a software called The City. It is a private social network for your local church. It grew out of a vision from Matthew 5:14-16, a vision of technology being leveraged to help the church live as a city set on a hill, shining the light of the gospel to the whole world. And of course, that is a great vision in the big sense of things, but how do you do that through technology? And what does it look like in a particular church context? Well, The City is one way to do that. And back years ago, the pastor of technology at Mars Hill Church, a guy named Zach Hubert, developed the software for The City, which has now changed hands a couple of times. It was purchased by Zondervan and currently is under the ownership of another organization, which slips my mind at the moment. But you can check the show notes. I've got a link to The City as well as the vision behind The City, and dozens and hundreds of churches are probably using that social network to provide a safe place where church members can share prayer requests and needs without the data being mined by big data companies like Facebook or Google or some other hosting that might be managing the back end of your social network. Well, with no further delay, I want you to enjoy this conversation as much as I did with Corin Bauer. Okay, on the Social Media Church Podcast today, DJ Chuang here is with Corin Bauer, who is the, we'll get her title. She's at Mars Hill Church in Seattle, and it is a multi-site church in however many states and how many locations now?
We're in four states and 14 locations.
Four states and 14 locations at the time of this recording.
And
what is your title and how long have you been working there?
My official title is Online Communications Manager, which is a fancy way of saying I do all things online that are kind of our communication. So social media obviously is a huge part of that. And I've been working at Mars Hill since December 2011. I was an intern for a while and volunteered for a while, but officially working paid since December 2011.
Well, congratulations. This is an enviable job in some respects.
Yeah.
And for people that are working in social media professionally, we realize it's a lot more work than just for fun when you don't have to work for it.
Yeah. Someone was saying to me yesterday, like, oh, you're going to be on Facebook all day. And I was like, well, it's a little more complicated than that. But yeah, basically.
Well, we're going to touch on just how complicated that is, because here at the Social Media Church Podcast, we want to get conversations with church leaders about social media and get a behind the scenes look of how it really works, rather than just, hey, here's 100 ideas of how you could use Pinterest. Now, right. I'm thrilled to be talking with you because Mars Hill Church was identified by yours truly as one of the top 5 social media churches in the world. And one of the things that stood out for me about Mars Hill Church when I was looking at churches that are using social media well and very engagingly is just how much presence you have online as a church. And here's an excerpt from that article in Christian Post about the top 5 social media churches. Mars Hill Church is based in Seattle, led by Pastor Mark Driscoll. And the communication director, Justin Dean, said collectively, Mars Hill's social media channels are gaining about 6,000 new followers per week. And most of that is gained through people sharing our content with their friends, which put us in front of new people who then follow us, Dean told CP. They say content is king, and we focus on creating good, valuable content that people will share. And he added, we pay a lot of attention to how people engage and interact with our posts. One example is that we recently started posting more images because we noticed that people will share an image 300 to 400% more than posts that are just text. And what stood out for me with Mars Hill and their social media and online engagement, and I guess online communication manager is a much more apt title because web and blogging and producing the podcasts, which are the sermons, as well as email, all are incorporated in communicating in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And social media sometimes doesn't capture all that. And what's caught my attention with Mars Hill, in addition to that, is a strong presence on Pinterest, strong presence on Instagram, mm-hmm. Two of the fastest growing social networks, and on YouTube with sermon preview clips like movie trailers. I haven't found anybody else doing that, plus sound bites from the sermon. So how do you do all of that?
How do we do all of that? Well, very, very busily. So when my role became my role, it was kind of pieced together from other channels. So I didn't step into someone else's role. It was just created for me. So some of the things that we've been doing, for example, the preview clips are something that we've been doing for a while. And then clips from the sermon we've been doing for, you know, before there was even Facebook. I think we've been doing YouTube sermon clips. So those have gotten us, I think, a lot of visibility. People who wouldn't watch a sermon will watch a YouTube mm-hmm. clip. That's kind of our idea. And when I clip out the sermon clips, because I'm the one who picks what they are going to be.
Oh, I love that. And you do such a masterful job at that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've been doing it. How long have I been doing it? I've been doing it for maybe about 6 or 7 months. So I haven't always done it. And it was kind of big shoes to fill. But when I pick them, I try to think of what would I want to post on a friend's wall? What is a clip that I think really encapsulates a big idea or a really good truth that I want, mm-hmm. that I would want a friend of mine to see that might not come to church with me, that might not listen to a whole sermon? What is something that I would want them to take away from the sermon? So it's kind of how I view the clips that we use. And sometimes they're really long. Some of them lately have been 20 minutes, which is not been our practice. But one of our 20-minute clips that we did a couple weeks ago has, I think, 23,000 views. And I mean, the topic is about tongues, so I think that has something to do with it. The title of it is Common Questions About the Gift of Tongues, so I think that in itself probably garners a lot of attention. And so my philosophy would have been like 5-minute clips, don't make them more than that. But it's been, I mean, when you think of what people want to see, if we were to take just one of those questions, because it's 3 questions in that clip, if you were to just take one of them, they might not get the whole picture. And so, and as much as I really want people to watch the whole sermon, I really, really want that. I also want them to get a whole picture of the gospel, to get a whole biblical truth in just that one clip, enough that they feel like they're being fed and that they get something out of it. That's really what I hope. So the YouTube we've been doing for a long time. And then like Justin Dean said, we've been doing images somewhat recently. We started, I think, around Christmas time was our first time that we were like, okay, how could we make basically like custom content for the more visual social media? So Pinterest, we started doing them on Instagram just with this latest Acts sermon series. Pinterest and Facebook are kind of the more visual ones. And so we take clips from the sermon and put them just on a template that we've made. It doesn't really take a lot of work. It's just a clip from the, or a quote from the sermon, or, you know, a encapsulating idea, and we put on there, and those get a lot of traction. And like Justin said, one of the things that we learned, we went to a conference in October of last year, and Ben Ha of Icahn Has Cheeseburgers fame kind of gave this, he was talking about why memes are so popular. And it's really because when you see an image, you've fully engaged with it. You've, when you see the image in your feed, you've already done all that it wants you to do. With a video, you have to click play. With a link, you have to click the link, and you have to trust it, and you have to say, is this worth my time? Whereas if you have an image and you see it, you've already done all the engagement that the person wants you to do. So for us, images have been really valuable, and they get shared a lot more. I mean, obviously it's, you know, we have a lot of blog content, and that is, I think when Justin says content is king, I think he's talking a lot about our blog posts that have, discipleship or missional or, you know, obviously the gospel in there and our sermons. But I think images are, you know, in this social media fast paced, everyone just wants a big idea immediately. And so that's a way that we can just say, okay, here's your idea. There you go. And we always link to the sermon. We always link to something more, because if I share something, and this happened before, I mean, obviously a lot of trial and error comes with a job like this, but we had an image that we made for Thanksgiving that it just had a Bible verse of, I don't remember which Bible verse, but it was just about giving thanks. And that got shared a huge amount on Tumblr. And the problem was it didn't say Marcel on it at all anywhere. And so it was kind of like just throwing an image out there, not having anything for people to come back and see. So for us, we put at the top and the bottom of each of our images where they can get more info, you know, marcel.com/acts, or, you know, just Marcel Church, so that if they want to see you more. And then whenever I post it somewhere, I say, you know, watch the whole sermon here, or, you know, view the YouTube clip here, so that people can, they always have the opportunity to see more. So our YouTube clips all link back to our sermons, our images all link back to our sermons, so that people really are getting the full experience, the full weight of the sermon, and the full, just gospel.
Wow, man, just hearing you talk, I've got 100 other questions, but I want to keep this tight for our podcast listeners, and maybe we'll have a follow-up if people give me some feedback. One of the things I've had a challenge with is getting my listeners to talk back at me. And I've set up everything I could with voicemail, email, texting, Twitter, Facebook, and I'm on all the channels. But I know people are busy, but I know people are listening too. So that's all right. I just want to create the snowball of this conversation so that we can learn from each other. So thanks for taking some time to share with us. So on your YouTube channel, currently you have over 38,000 subscribers, 13 million views, and you started back in 2006. So let's give our listeners a context for why Mars Hill has invested so much time and resource into using social media so early, when 99% of churches are still testing how to really engage.
I know, right? Well, So we live in Seattle, and Seattle is known for being very tech savvy, very, you know, wanting to know what's next, very literate, very, you know, everyone has a smartphone. So for us, it wasn't hard to kind of adopt into the social media. I wasn't on staff, obviously, in 2006, but I started attending Marcel in 2008. And when I started watching online first. I was really reticent to start attending a church. And I had moved to Seattle from, I didn't want to start a new church, so I started watching online. And I found Pastor Mark on MySpace, believe it or not, and friended him there. And Facebook had just kind of been getting more traction. It had been open to the public instead of just to colleges. So Pastor Mark had put a Facebook, or he had a Facebook profile, and I became his friend on there, but at that time it had a 5,000 friend limit, and there were not, or I think there just started to be pages. So, because of that 5,000 friend cap, they had to make a page. And at the time, I think his, there was only like musician and, you know, a couple. So he was a musician for a while.
Well, he's definitely a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Leather jacket. So much of our innovation really comes out of necessity and trying to figure out what to do. Honestly, I think anyone would tell you that their innovation is pretty much by accident and by desperation. So for us,
but it's still such a stark contrast. I was just in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and that's very high tech also, as is Seattle, as is Austin. And yet I don't find that much activity from churches that are on the ground there. And so there's still something in your leadership that's open to this. And so I just find that marvelous.
Well, I think, and we also started pretty young. We started pretty, just go forward and figure it out later. That's kind of our style sometimes. And so we're early adopters of a lot of things because we're like, hey, it's a new thing. Let's do it. And we'll figure it out later. So that's exactly what happened with Pinterest. The only reason we got a Pinterest in January 2012, I'd been working for a month. My boss comes in and said, okay, figure out Pinterest. We're going to have one. No one else is doing Pinterest. I was just like, okay, we'll pin stuff we have on our blog and some photos, I guess. And so I spent like a couple days just loading Pinterest up. And then we get all these calls and emails like, hey, you guys are doing Pinterest well. Can we interview you for an article about how churches can do Pinterest? And we're literally like, sure, I guess. It's not like we were doing anything that we were like, okay, this is our strategy. And so now, a couple months later, I was looking up, okay, how do we do Pinterest well? What are churches that are doing Pinterest well? And all I could find were articles about how we were doing Pinterest. So that was the least helpful thing because all the articles were about what we were doing. So, yeah. So a lot of our innovation comes out of like, hey, this is a thing. Let's do it. And it can probably be useful. And sometimes it is, but sometimes we need to also figure out if it's most helpful. So we have a lot of channels and you know, most of them are doing pretty well, but sometimes we have to really ask, okay, is this, you know, still fruitful? Are we still getting results out of this? Are we still seeing people engaging and, you know, people, if people aren't engaging, then sometimes you either have to pick a new strategy or you have to decide if maybe it's not worth the effort and focus your efforts on something else. You know, sometimes doing 10 things okay isn't worth doing 2 things really well. So
let's review the number of channels you have and how you measure the effectiveness.
Okay.
And then talk a bit about the workflow.
Okay.
All right. So I mentioned YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You mentioned Tumblr. What about Google Plus and any other channels?
You know, I have a list somewhere. I should have grabbed it. I think that's it.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah. So measuring effectiveness. Well, Facebook, we have insights, obviously. And Twitter, we have insights as well. And so I run a couple different channels. I run like I do the social media for Mars Hill, and then I run also the Resurgence, which is our sister theology website, and then I do social media for Pastor Mark Driscoll. So I do better at.
Wait! Did you say you do social media for Pastor Mark?
Well, yeah, it's.
You mean
like,
he's not 100% on Twitter? He has a ghost Twitter?
No, he does not have a ghost Twitter. Everything is from him. We just help schedule stuff. So everything is 100% his words, trust me. I help push buttons so that a lot of times he's busy, but he'll send stuff to us to post out there. But so we do better at I do better at insights for some of the channels, but I would say for Marcel, probably I do the least well at insights. So it's definitely something that I could work better on to improve. But a lot of times I'll do like, okay, what were the most retweeted? What were the least retweeted? What Facebook posts had the most engagement, which had the least? And same for Twitter. So that's so links, see which ones got the most clicks and least retweeted, most retweeted. And then for Instagram, I just kind of throw things out there. And I love Instagram, but I don't really have a way to. Instagram doesn't really play nice with other scheduling and insights. So.
Yeah, I was recently looking for Instagram analytics, and there's only two on the market.
Yeah.
Give you some numbers, but yeah. At least that's a start.
Yeah.
And so what have you found unique about each of these channels? What do people engage with, and what do people kind of just – you thought – what surprised you? You spent some time producing content, and people weren't engaging as much as you did.
I thought people on Tumblr would like behind the scenes stuff more. So I try to put, and it hasn't exactly happened 100% this way, where I would really like to have more unique content for each of the channels. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes things are busy, and so it's just kind of pushing content out and not tailoring it as well as I would like. But in my mind, Tumblr is kind of where we put previews of artwork, behind-the-scenes photos at our churches, other sneak peeks, I guess. I guess I thought with the ones that I put on there that they would have more engagement. And it's not to say that people didn't enjoy them. We don't have a huge following on Tumblr. I think we have maybe 300 to 400 followers. So it's just not a huge amount. There are some things that go crazy that sometimes I'm confused by. And that's true for all of our social medias where they'll be where I thought, oh, this one's going to blow up. And it doesn't really where there's, and then there's a status. I'm just like, I don't really know if we should put this up there. Oh, I guess it's okay. And then it does incredibly well. So some of it is just guessing.
Yeah. And there is a lot of that trial and error to see what people respond to. And you, in some sense, you can't control that, but what you can control is quality and frequency. So how much content are you cranking out for these channels? And do you have a staff or do you have a team of volunteers? How do you do it?
So a lot of our, as I said before, a lot of our content on our pages is going to be from blog posts or sermons. So we have a daily devotion that we put out every morning. And then we have usually a blog post or two during the day, usually one. And then we have the sermon clips and then we do promo. So like summer camp or sermons coming up or, a new book or a new music album that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do between, on Facebook, I try to do around six posts a day.
Wow.
It's kind of where
that's
I'm at.
A lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I don't know. I don't know if other people get this way, but when I haven't posted in about 2 hours, I start getting really antsy and feeling like I need to post something. So maybe not everyone feels that way. I think on for some pages we post more and some others, but on Marcel's page, it's about six. And then on Twitter, what I'll do is I'll take I'll take quotes from the sermon mm-hmm. or from the YouTube clips, and I will use a hashtag for all of them and put them out there. And those, I think I really like using those because they're just little nuggets, kind of what I was talking about with the clips. It's just a nugget of truth to put out there. And those are the kinds of things that people like retweeting, mm-hmm. Simple little nuggets of truth.
Mm-hmm. People yeah, like so that. It sounds like the tree trunk, the pipeline of your content revolves around your blog mm-hmm. and your sermon, of course. I mean, Pastor Mark is a master communicator, mm-hmm. and he's very quotable and a bit yes. provocative and snarky, and that fits mm-hmm. the social media culture.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
And also a darling of mainstream media. Yeah. I still have fond memories of him appearing on ABC Nightline, and he took on Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
And dominated. I was like, wow, he's a gifted guy. So you're generating premium content that's getting shared and engaging people. What do you do to facilitate conversations, or do you not?
That's something I would like to get better at. I've talked to a couple churches who I think are doing it well, and I'd like to get better at that. I feel like sometimes we're talking at people instead of talking with them. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to talk with them, because when I think of the reason for a church having social media, I think of just kind of that fostering community throughout the week, mm-hmm. kind of meeting people where they are, mm-hmm. Not just Sunday to Sunday, but having a way that people, while they're at work or while they're on their commute or while they're at home, have a way to be fed the gospel and communicate with people. And I really love how people talk to each other in the comments. And I might not always have something to say, but I like talking with people on there. Mm-hmm. But it's usually in the comments. I'd like to have more posts that are directed toward that. So there are churches that say, we're praying for you this week. How can we be praying for you? Mm-hmm. And we've done some stuff like that, but haven't seen a lot of responses. And I would like to get better at that, in the way that I believe that if you do something regularly, that people will expect it. So mm-hmm. If you're creating a culture of, okay, this is a page that wants to hear from you, then I think people will start treating it that way and start responding, instead of just an RSS feeder of, okay, here's mm-hmm. your blog, here's your clip, here's your, because I feel it's a little bit what we are right now. And so I'd like to get better mm-hmm. at talking with people, asking questions, how are you doing, finding out who people mm-hmm. are, not just seeing them as numbers, but seeing them as people. Mm. So I don't think they do that perfectly. Yeah. I would like to do that better.
Great. And you, Marcel does do it in a couple ways. The sermon series, Ask Me Anything. Mm-hmm. I love the way it was set up, like a, what do they call those things? Crowdsourced kind of a thing, where people got to vote on the topic that they wanted, or the topic or the question that they wanted Mark to preach on. And then he picked the top 11, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And there was an open comment thread. And so it was very, very conversational, engaging, and definitely controversial, and push the boundaries. I don't know if that'll come back in a different iteration, but I thought that was a masterful use of web, social media, open that conversation and kind of open a can of worms, really.
Yeah, that's actually what got me to start attending Mars Hill, that sermon series, because that was when I first heard of them, and I thought, wow, I actually do have those questions. So that's when I started attending Mars Hill.
Oh, how about that? And then the other thing, Mars Hill has also invested in technology hands-on. So there's a private church social network platform called The City. And that grew out of a need that Marcel had. And so how does that technology facilitate conversation for the church community?
Yeah, it actually is. Some people use the city well. Some people mm-hmm. Don't engage in it as much. But mm-hmm. definitely what is helpful is that we can send a post out to the entire church, mm-hmm. Say from Pastor Mark or mm-hmm. from Pastor Sutton or Pastor Dave or other executive elders, and it'll go to everyone, so everyone will see it. And a way that we use it pretty frequently, or how Pastor Mark uses it, is he'll say, hey, tomorrow in my sermon I'm talking about X, what is a way that you've seen this in your life? Mm. And people will respond, and he will pick a few that he just reads from the pulpit. Mm. So for example, a couple weeks ago, he preached on healing. from Acts, and he said, okay, I'm preaching on healing this Sunday. What are ways that God has healed you, or the Holy Spirit has worked in your life to heal you? And so he read a few of those from the pulpit. And then we took some of those and we did a blog post the next week after the Sunday. And it was really cool to see lots and lots of people's stories from all over. And so that's a way that I love the city, is that it is a way that people can really feel safe to talk about things like that, not in a public area, but that they can feel like they're really just telling their pastor, like, here's what Jesus has done for me. And, you know, I want, you know, to tell the whole world that, you know, Jesus has done this for me.
Oh, that's so good. And of course, I'll put a link in the show notes to the city for churches to check out. And there's a value to having a private social network as well as the public social networks that you're certainly engaged in as well. Can you mention a couple of churches that you see are more conversational and doing it well that you're looking to learn from?
Yeah, I think Life Church TV is doing it well. They do that, you know, we're praying for you this week. How can we help you? How can we be praying for you? I think they do that well and kind of have more of a conversational tone. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember the church, but Neil Smith's church?
Yes, Community Bible Church in San Antonio.
There you go. I think if you look at their page, they do an amazing job of engagement. They talk to people, they, you know, have Bible quizzes and they have questions and people respond, and I think it's amazing.
Cool. And I was going to say, Neil's been on Social Media Church before.
He's great.
And social media moves so fast, you know. Yeah. Every 3 months is a new version of a web browser.
Yeah, it's a fun little marathon.
Yeah. So let me wrap this up here. One last question, and I've got so many more. My brain is just racing. It's been so fun to talk with you, Corin. So for churches that are still, and we're all in that process of figuring out how to stay engaged with social media, and, you know, Facebook will change the rules again, you know, next week or something.
They'll change everything you do. Yeah.
How do you manage your online presence personally versus professionally and organizationally?
Organizationally. Well, I have a lot of sticky notes. personally, my social media, I feel like this is probably true for a lot of people's jobs, where it's hard to, on your time off, to do what you do for your job. And so, I have been on Twitter a lot more than I used to be. I think there was a little bit of time where I was working a lot more because social media never sleeps. But now I'm kind of at a good pace of, okay, this is how I, you know, this is what a day for me looks like. And so I enjoy using Twitter personally for, you know, just thoughts and hopefully funny little quips. But, I mean, most of it is just, you know, personal life and a lot of Instagram photos. I take a lot of Instagram photos. And then professionally, organizationally, obviously I use a scheduler, so that helps a lot. And we kind of have a way that, okay, in the morning we do this, in, you know, the mid morning we post this, in noon we post, and so on and so on. And so I can kind of look at a day and say, okay, what does this day look like? Do we have any pressing matters? Those are kind of most important. But for a lot of time, I kind of have a weekly schedule of, okay, I do clips on this day. I do the Life of Marcel photo essay this day. I, you know, write descriptions on this day. I, you know, et cetera. So organizationally, it kind of looks like in daily chunks of, okay, how can I get the whole day planned out in a way that makes sense? And I love Hootsuite, so I schedule a lot of things ahead of time so I don't have to feel like I'm running around with a head without a head, so which social media can feel like. So trying to manage channels and everything, but usually it's, some of it's reacting, which can take time, but hopefully a lot of the things are planned ahead of time. And our content team, who does the blogs and does the graphics, are doing a great job of being they're getting better working ahead of time. I've talked to a few churches who are like, yeah, we have things planned out 3 weeks ahead of time. And I'm like, seriously, I don't even have today figured out. So I'm not really that ahead. I feel like the times that I'm ahead of myself, things change and it ends up not, I need to change things anyway. So social media is so instant that I try not to get too ahead of myself, or else usually ends up going poorly. Like I end up scheduling two things at the same minute. And anyway, so organizationally, sort of try to figure it out, but a lot of it is just kind of reacting and being in the moment.
Yes.
Social media in the moment.
Well, thank you so much, Corinne. It was so fun to chat with you. And
yeah, it's been great.
I've got so many other questions. And if our listeners would like to respond, hit socialmediachurch.net, connect with us on any channel you'd like, and ask Corinne anything. And we'll shoot her way and hear from you. Thank you, Corinne. Enjoy the stay dry in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty hot today. So
hot.
I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
Hot. 70. I don't know.
That's great.
I'm wearing a sweater right now.
Well, thank you so much, Corinne. We'll stay connected.
Thank you, Corinne Bauer, for joining me on a conversation here at the Social Media Church. And you can connect with Corinne and Marcel Church and the city and other things in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. And for those of you that are new to this podcast, thank you for listening, and would love to have you be a subscriber. You can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcatcher. If you happen to be on Android or even on your desktop through your web browser, you can select the right channel, the right app that you like to use, and find all the links there at Social Media Church. And to make this conversation, I'd invite your feedback and comments and even questions and stories at socialmediachurch.net. Pick Twitter or Facebook, and I would imagine you have a mobile device handy in your pocket or in your purse, and you can call in to our hotline, and the number is 9493-543-2216, and that is a text-friendly number as well, so if you want to shoot a quick text while you're on the go, we'd love to just hear from you and get some feedback. Really enrich this conversation and have a place where the conversation can carry on from week to week and for many months ahead. We definitely want to make this a evergreen place kind of a content, so that when people want to hear the behind the scenes activity of how it is that churches are really using social media more effectively, you'll get the stories, not just the tips, but the stories embodied, so that these ideas can come to life in your church context as well. So that's what we're doing here at the Social Media Church. We'd love to also have your ratings and reviews on the iTunes store so others can find us talking here and have you join us in the conversation. And you'll notice that I have avoided the I word for most of my episodes here at Social Media Church as I'm talking with church leaders. And the I word being interviews. And while most of them are in that interview format, I really want to make it more fluid, more organic, and more bi-directional and multi-directional, where we're having conversations with each others. And I think that adds a whole nother dimension, and it fits our social media context and social networks so much better. And the beauty of podcasting is it's easy to share, and it's the only kind of content you can consume without using your eyes. I don't know if you've thought about that, but you don't have to use your eyes to be consuming content and listening to this podcast, unlike any other form of social media. It's a very unique medium. You get to hear the tone of voice, and you get to join the conversation here. So do that now. I look forward to hearing from you. My name is DJ Chuang. You've been listening to another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. We'll come to you again next week. And until then, let's stay connected online.